On April 16th, 2007, Colin Goddard was, as he says, where he should have been, which was in French class in Norris Hall on the Virginia Tech University campus. That day, a lone gunman barricaded the hall's doors and shot and killed 32 people. He also wounded 17 more, including Colin, who was shot 4 times. It is still the largest mass shooting in U.S. history. The event, quite obviously, changed the course of Colin Goddard's life. He's now the assistant director of federal legislation at the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence in Washington, D.C., and a leading advocate for universal background checks on gun purchasers. He's in town for a screening of the documentary about his experience called Living for 32. Colin Goddard, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by phone is Jim Townsend. He's a Michigan State representative from Royal Oak who's leading the legislative effort here to expand gun background checks. Welcome, Jim.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for having us on the show.
Our pleasure. Colin, I know you've told this story many times, but for our listeners who haven't heard it, tell us about April 16th, 2007 and what happened from your point of view.
Well, it was a Monday morning, and that Monday morning I had a 9 a.m. French class that I was late to, which was kind of par for the course then. But it was just a normal Monday French class that all of a sudden banging noises started coming from somewhere outside of our classroom, and actually sounded somewhat outside of our whole building. They were doing construction on the building just adjacent to ours all mm-hmm. semester, so we first thought these kind of loud noises was a hammer or a nail gun or something.
Okay.
And teacher continued with class. Then seconds later, you heard a much louder bang, bang, bang. This was something you could tell was not outside. This was something happening in our hallway. And immediately, the teacher's expression just dropped. And she ran to the door to see what was going on in the hallway. And as soon as she opened it, she slammed it back shut. And she's like, she turned around and says, everyone underneath your desk, somebody call 911. And she looked at me and she said, call 911. And for the first time in my life, I pulled on my phone and dialed 911 and wasn't sure at all what was happening. I said, I think there's somebody shooting a gun in Norris Hall. And the woman said, Norris Hall. And I said, yeah, Norris Hall in Blacksburg. And she said, Blacksburg? I said, yeah, Blacksburg, Virginia, America. Like, hello. Realizing that not that my Nextel phone contacted Ohio Nextel Emergency.
Oh, my.
And so they transferred me, kind of heard another woman's voice on the phone, and told her what I thought was happening. And seconds later, bullets started coming through our wooden door, the only door to the classroom. And everyone hit the floor and thought about for a split second going for the windows on the other side of the room. Glad I didn't. Probably wouldn't be here in retrospect. But
you hid under a desk or behind a desk?
Just jumped down to the floor behind. We had a chair and desk unit together and jumped behind one and actually took one glimpse to the front of the classroom right at the beginning and saw somebody walking that had, you know, browned combat boots, military boots, khaki pants, a white shirt, and 2 holsters over both shoulders. And the way this person was walking looked like they were about to exit our room, not someone who had just entered. So my first impression was this was a cop, someone who had climbed up the window and was going to come help us.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of walking out of the room that I expected, he turned down my row of desks. And that's when I was like, this is not who I thought it was. Turned away, and then I felt like I had been kicked as hard as I had ever been kicked in my life, in my left leg. And that whole shook my whole body, ultimately threw the phone out of my hand. And that feeling kind of faded into this sharp, stinging sensation, burning feeling, which then kind of faded into this warm wetness and then just total numbness from head to toe.
You were hit 4 times, though, correct?
But that was the first one, and it was that moment, that physical sensation coupled with the smell of the gunpowder, which made me realize, like, I just got shot. This is real. And ultimately, at the end of the whole ordeal, which to me felt like hours, later I learned it was about 9.5 minutes, I had been shot 3 more times in both my hips and through my shoulder, and was one of very few people in that room of 17 people who were still alive.
Mm.
And police came in. They, the first thing they said in the room was, shoot her down. And as quickly, you know, as all the shooting just stopped it, started it, it all just stopped. And I didn't know that when they said shoot her down, that meant he had killed himself in the front of our classroom.
I see. We have to fast forward here. Yeah. You are today a volunteer at the Brady Campaign, or you went to volunteer at the Brady Campaign to prevent gun violence, and then got into making this film that we alluded to a minute ago. Tell us briefly about the film and the response that you've gotten to it.
Well, the film is really, you know, what happened at that school that morning and why I chose to get involved in talking about gun policy and background checks. You know, I really didn't know what we did in terms of how people acquire guns in this country. I assumed that, you know, you had to surely go through a background check, you had to register your gun and all that, and was kind of shocked to learn that we don't have that, and we actually don't do background checks even on all gun sales.
Uh-huh.
And that was just one issue I thought was just so common sense. If we're, you know, want to keep guns away from dangerous people, you know, you got to check who that person is.
Right.
And so when I learned that you can literally go to gun shows or over the internet and find a private individual to sell a gun with no check, I was alarmed. And so it took an undercover camera, went across the country, and documented these transactions where I bought 9mm, 22s, Tech 9s, Mac 11s. I even bought an AK-47 from a guy in Dayton, Ohio, with no background check, no paperwork, nothing, just a wad of cash, and I walked out with a gun. And I made this film to say, why is this our policy? This is bad public policy. This allows dangerous people to easily arm themselves. And I think it's just one area that we can improve to make sure that we respect Second Amendment rights, allow people to own firearms, but also do a better job of keeping them away from dangerous people to begin with.
Representative Townsend, let's bring you into the conversation. Explain what your bill proposes.
Well, basically our bill requires that we close the loophole that that Colin's referring to. It's just totally unacceptable that people can do what he described, you know, go to a gun show or buy a gun on the internet without any requirement for them to go through a background check. So our legislation requires that anybody buying any kind of gun in the state of Michigan has to go through a background check process, either at a licensed gun dealer, or they can do that, or they have the option of going to the state police or the county sheriff and getting a permit to purchase a gun for 30 days. But to get that permit, you have to go through a background check. So we try to make this as easy as possible for everybody. We aren't trying to put up undue barriers to law-abiding citizens obtaining guns, but we want to make sure that people who should not be getting access to firearms, people who are, you know, a danger to themselves or others and have a record of being so, are stopped before they get access to guns.
What's the response been to your bill in the legislature and in the larger public?
Well, the concept of universal background checks is broadly supported among voters in Michigan. There was a poll commission the poll. It was done separately from us as an Epic MRA poll. A very reputable polling firm did this back in the spring. And they found that 86% of Michigan voters support universal background checks. When we introduced the bill, have roughly 20 co-sponsors from the House, and there's been a very positive response from a lot of people. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people out there who have been persuaded that any change to tighten up our background check laws represents something else. I mean, there are people out there who think this is about taking away guns or, you know, denying people access to lawful firearms, and that's not what this is. But there's some people who are out there saying that. There's no doubt.
Every attempt to try to address gun violence is a full frontal assault on the Second Amendment. Is that what you're hearing? Is that how you would describe it?
That's what I from my sense of it, and I don't know for sure. This is just what I see on Facebook and Twitter and where what I occasionally pick up from people is that any change, like anything we do to try to create some rational gun safety legislation, is seen as the first step toward toward confiscating weapons or something like that, and that's just simply not the case. My intention in introducing this bill was to try to find a policy about which there was the greatest consensus. I mean, something that would make a difference, reduce access to guns by people who really shouldn't have them, but do it in a way that the great majority of our state would agree with, and that's what we have before us, and it just remains to be seen whether we can get a hearing in the Judiciary Committee in the House and whether we can get a vote on the House floor.
We're talking with Colin Goddard, who is a survivor of the Virginia Tech shooting from back in April 2007, and State Representative Jim Townsend. Colin, you receive emails and comments from people who say that if they were in that classroom with their guns, they could have saved the day. How do you respond to comments like that?
You know, you never know what you're going to do in a situation until you're doing it, you know. And it is the craziest thing that you could really never imagine. Nothing like you see on television or read about in a book. It is absolute chaos. And, you know, I think that we can do a better job of keeping dangerous people and guns from coming together in the first place. That, you know, background checks are something that we just have to do. That, you know, we should not just take the approach of trying to do something at the last possible second. You know, and I think we can do, like I said, a better job in advance of keeping these situations from ever coming about. You know, since the background check system started in 1994, we've stopped over 2 million transactions from happening where a gun would have fallen into the hands of a dangerous person. 2 million is huge. We know in Virginia, for example, where my parents live, that background checks alone have stopped over 400 felons from purchasing firearms. 63 felons were arrested on site at Virginia gun shows in 2009 because they failed a background check. Background checks work. We just need to require them on all sales, not just some sales like we're doing now. And that's why bills like the Representative Townsend has introduced is key in respecting Second Amendment rights, but also making it more difficult for dangerous people to get them in the first place.
Very good. Jim, very briefly, we've just got a few seconds. What are the chances of a hearing in the Judiciary Committee then?
Well, we have sent a letter over to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. His name is Kevin Cotter. He is a representative from Mount Pleasant. Have not heard back yet from him, but we're hoping that people can come together and put pressure on members of the committee and the chairman of the committee and the Speaker of the House to allow us to have a hearing. You know, we should not have to wait until Michigan suffers, God forbid, suffers a terrible incident like the one that took place at Virginia Tech or what happened in Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay. We've got to let it go there. Representative Jim Townsend and Colin Goddard, we thank you both for joining us here today. Both Colin and Jim will be in East Lansing tonight for a screening of Living for 32. It's at 6 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Greater Lansing. You can find more information on our website. That's 7 p.m., I'm now being told. Sorry, 7 p.m. You can find more information on our website, WKAR.org. Thanks to both of you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
And current state production assistant Becky McKendry took to the Lansing area streets to ask residents what they thought of background checks for gun owners. Here's what some of them had to say.
Largely, I think we should be making the laws so that they keep guns out of the hands of people who've committed crimes of a serious nature. And it's kind of disturbing that that hasn't already been enacted across the nation already.
If they do a felony check, it should at least be for weapons and not for anything else.
I'm not sure that mental illness or certain crimes should exclude people from having guns, but I think it's important to know the past of people that do own guns.
There are prescriptive drugs you can't buy without, authorization from a doctor. I think that something as dangerous as guns, there should be a background check, absolutely.
I think that there should at least be some sort of recognition of about, all right, I'm about to give you a lethal weapon. I should at least know who you are and where you come from.
I think that they're extremely necessary. Background checks are required for anybody to enter a public school, so I think that they should be required for anybody that's going to purchase a gun.
Those were Lansing area residents explaining how they feel about background checks on gun producers.